Well, good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus, our Lord and risen Savior. Join me in worshiping God this morning, our Creator, life giver, praising Him for giving us Jesus and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Praise God this morning for His faithfulness. When He says He will do something, He will carry it out. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's love for us does not cease. His mercy is new daily. God is so wonderful. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. Lord, fill us with a new understanding of your Spirit this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to what you are doing around us. Reveal the actions of your Spirit to us. Lead us and guide us each day. We offer our worship up to you, our Lord and risen Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to prepare your hearts for worship as I read Romans 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I invite you to stand and worship with us.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I invite the ushers to come forward to lift the offering during this next song, and I invite the children to come forward for my coins count.
Hunger
Good morning. This morning's offering is for the budget and to support Michael and Julia. Please see the note from them in your bulletin. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day. Another beautiful, glorious day that we can spend with you. And here we are spending it together, worshiping and praising your name. And we thank you for your presence here. We pray for each person here. We pray for those listening. We pray for our church family. Lord, we have needs in our church family, health, financial, spiritual, emotional needs. Lord, use us to help embody or empower us with your giftings and your spirit to help meet the needs. And we thank you for your blessing. And we just offer a portion back to you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we can gather together to worship you and to learn about you. I thank you for who you are and for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross to save us. And thank you for sending the Spirit to be with us and guide us. I pray that you would be with Tony this morning as he brings the message. Please open our hearts and help us to hear what you have for us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
So, what are we going to be celebrating in a few days?
Thanksgiving.
We get to eat turkey and all kinds of good stuff, right? Get to spend time with family. What's that? You get to eat birthday cake. Well, that's always a plus.
It's soon
your birthday. How old are you going to be, like 15?
10.
10, okay. Well, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that God gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Do you guys know what a tour guide is? Yeah, it's someone who leads you and guides you through something, around. Maybe you guys have gone on field trips at school. There's always someone leading you and guiding you around. The tour guide, they probably know the area and they know a bunch of information. About almost a year ago, my family and I went on an airboat tour in Florida. And we went up this river, and the guide showed us around, and he safely got us back to where we were supposed to go.
One of my friends, Parker B., in my class at school, went to Florida.
Oh, that's awesome. I bet he had fun there. Did he go to the beach?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Well, that's okay. But not only did we safely return back to the dock, we also saw a bunch of stuff. We saw birds. We saw alligators. Yeah. See, right there's an alligator. There's another alligator. There's a couple more. Right there's a turtle. So we saw all kinds of neat wildlife. And our guide, we got to this one point where there was land in front of us, but there was water on the other side. And what did he do? He just took the boat right up and over the land, back into the water on the other side. And we went around there, and then we came back through. Had I been operating the boat, I probably would have got lost and wouldn't have known where to go. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. See, there's the engine of the airboat. That's an LS engine, if you're curious, so. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us just like the guy on the boat. He led us and guided us so we could find our way. The Holy Spirit is a helper. John 14:26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." He keeps us safe and he speaks to us. He might tell us to go pray for somebody or go talk to our friend who's having a rough day to encourage them and lift them up. He gives us strength and he gives us power. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit in us. So remember that the Holy Spirit is there to show us the way, to help us, to lead us and guide us. So I'd like to pray for you, and then you may have a snack and head back to your seat. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, just thank you for these children. I pray that you will bless them. I pray that they will come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Just watch over them and take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may have a snack.
July 11th said it might be popular.
No, it's not popcorn. No, it's little mini muffins. Much better than popcorn. Well, some people might think that's popcorn's better, but there was a phone tree message that was sent out yesterday about if you could help sit with David Culp, or if you knew someone who could, and they listed Tony as their contact. If you could contact Ruthie, and if you need a contact number, you can talk to me. I have her number. That way, things can happen smoother due to Tony's job. Also, if there's anyone who would like to volunteer for Christmas Eve morning to help with the food prep, because we're going to, again, have the time of food, have a shortened Sunday school, and then have our church service. There was people who really enjoy the fellowship time with the food, and we as teachers are like, wow, we really got to teach the Christmas message, so we thought that was important. So we're going to do that again. So if you'd like to volunteer to help out with the food, please contact me. If not, I'll come and tap some shoulders and ask for help. So I'd like to draw your attention to the note in the bulletin. You as a congregation have affirmed Ken and Rick to the roles that God has called them to. And on December 3rd, we're going to be having a special installation service for Ken and Rick. I just want to thank you as a congregation for your prayers that you have poured out as we have walked through this process. And I'd like to thank the discernment team for all their hard work, the time they put in, and the time they spent in prayer seeking God and His will. I'd like to take a minute to pray for those who are in the hospital or those receiving care at home. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we lift up David and Alice Culp as he's receiving care at home. I just pray that your peace and your presence would be felt with them. I pray that you would help them to feel you with them as they walk down this journey. And I pray that you would be with Tony and Ruthie and their family as well. Pray that you would comfort them and lead them and guide them. Lord, I lift up Clarence and Jane Martin. I just pray that you would enable Clarence to come home today. Lord, we pray that his procedure did everything that the doctors were hoping it would, and I pray that you continue to bring healing to him and be with Grace Zimmerman as she's in the hospital. I pray that you pour out your peace and your comfort on her entire family, as they are walking alongside of her in this journey. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be felt as they show their loved one how much they care about her. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer. So this morning will be the last one in our series, and then we're going to move into a few messages on Advent. So this morning we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. When someone asks you a question about the Holy Spirit, are you prepared to give an answer? Can we defend what we believe? Do we know what we believe? First of all, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is God's Spirit. He is personal. Living in believers in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in us to have a relationship with us. Not this thing that's there as a GPS to tell us what is right and what is wrong, even though that might be something that the Holy Spirit does. But He wants to commune with our hearts, our souls, and our minds and our bodies. He's there for a deeper relationship. Second Corinthians 13:13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The The Holy Spirit is there to have fellowship with us. And as we learned last Sunday when we looked at the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God, yet the Spirit is separate from the Father and the Son. We have God in us, fellowshipping with us, being a conduit between us and the Father, and us and Jesus. I just pictured this. How many of you have ever made the telephone with the string and the two cans, and if you stretch it tight, you can actually hear them talking? That string is the conduit for the speech to go through, and that's where the Holy Spirit is. It's the conduit for us to be closer to God. Have you ever felt distant from God? It's impossible to be distant from God. If you're a follower of Jesus and you have Him in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God is in you. See, He doesn't move. We do. We stop communicating with Him. We stop having that fellowship with the Spirit, with God, and with Jesus. There are times when we don't hear from God, but He's always working. And some of that is because we're not continuing to press into God and seek what He wants us to do. Or we're not doing what the Spirit has already told us to do. We know what we should be doing. We know what we should be changing. And God is waiting for us to come to Him. We know that in Genesis 1:2, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the waters, the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit is eternal, like the Father and the Son. The Spirit was there, waiting for the Father to say, "Let there be light," which He says in the next verse. And we know from John chapter 1 that God created everything through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Some scholars believe it's like this. God the Father is the author. Jesus is the architect that drew up what the Father said, and the Holy Spirit is the builder, the power that made it come forth. God is using the Holy Spirit to work in us and change us. He's working through us so that we can help others see Jesus. In Hebrew, the word for Holy Spirit is ruach. The word generally means wind, breath, spirit, mind, or essence of God. In the Old Testament, there are many instances where the Spirit of God would come upon someone. They would give a prophecy or do a miracle. They would be empowered by the Spirit to do the Father's will. Joseph interpreted dreams. Samson performed incredible feats of strength that were beyond his human capability. Judges 3:7-10, we have an account of Israel entering into the time of Judges. Othniel had the Spirit of God come on him, and he entered a battle against a ram. The Holy Spirit, through Othniel, overpowered the king of Aram, bringing judgment on them and freeing Israel. Throughout Judges, this happened over and over and over. The prophets had the Spirit in them. They performed miracles. And God gave them the words to speak to His people for correction, for encouragement. The Holy Spirit is a conduit for the power of God to flow on certain chosen people that led his people and nation. Judges 16, Samson had his hair shaved off, and he wakes up to fight the Philistines as he'd done numerous times before, but he didn't realize the spirit and power of God had left him. In 1 Samuel 9, Saul was anointed king after all the Israelites demanded a king from God. So God gave him Saul. And after Saul goes home from searching from his father's lost donkeys, Samuel finds him and he's anointed as king. And as he passes Gibeah, some of the prophets were playing instruments and prophesying, and the Holy Spirit comes on him, and Saul starts prophesying. 1 Samuel 10:10. When Saul and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a group of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came powerfully on him, and he prophesied along with them. As you continue through the Old Testament, I think of Elijah and Elisha, how the Spirit of God would just come powerfully on them, and they would perform miracles and speak the Word of God, calling his people back to him, back to a right relationship with God. But then we move to the New Testament, and we see something new happen. In Luke 1, Zechariah is visited by an angel telling him his wife Elizabeth will have a son in her old age. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will never drink wine or beer. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he is still in his mother's womb. John is the one that they're talking about. He is the one that is called to go ahead of the Messiah and call the nation of Israel to repentance. Then you have the one who was prophesied about, the Messiah, arriving as a baby. And when it was time for his ministry to start, Jesus goes to John, who's calling people to repentance, baptizing them with water. He baptizes Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you and let you come to me. I guess I'm reading extra verses. That's okay. Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Why did that happen? The Spirit descended like a dove. This wasn't for Jesus. Remember that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. He knew what the Holy Spirit was. He knew who the Holy Spirit is. This is for us, so that we could see God pouring out his Spirit, showing us that Jesus is the Messiah. Throughout his ministry, Jesus used the power of the Holy Spirit to do the miracles. John 16, 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is what I told you, that he takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Jesus is telling us that the Spirit of truth is coming. Jesus is shortly going to go to the cross. And he's telling us, I'm giving you this Spirit so he can relay what the Father is showing us to us. He's being that conduit between God the Father and us. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us in all truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, which he could, because he is God. He's part of the Trinity. But the Spirit is going to go between us and God. And we're going to have that intimate communion with the Father. And we can have that daily. When we are told that he will never leave us or forsake us, we can know that is truth because we have the Holy Spirit in us. When we believe that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, the Holy Spirit is in us. But the Holy Spirit does so much more than just communicating what the Father wants us to know. John 14, 15 to 17. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it does not see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is going to remain with us and be in us. Turning to Acts in chapter 1, 4, and 5, Jesus is telling his disciples after he was raised from the dead, he is reaffirming the promise that he made to us, his followers, of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit came. John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus was telling his disciples and us that if we believe in him, we will do works that he does. But then he goes farther and says that we will do greater works than what Jesus did. That's amazing because Jesus did some amazing things. How was that possible? It is because anything is possible through God, and it's because we have the Holy Spirit in us. The power of God is in us. It's not for us to wave around like a magic wand. It is for us to do the will of God, not our will, but God's will. And this brings us to Acts 2. The disciples were gathered to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, 2 and 3. Suddenly a sound like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. The Holy Spirit came on them powerfully. They spoke in tongues. They healed people. The message of God was spread throughout the world. So how do we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us? And how do we know he's communicating with us? How can we hear that? Do you know what the biggest evidence of the Holy Spirit actively working in you is? Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. If we have the growth of the fruits of the Spirit in us, shining out so everyone can see, we have the Holy Spirit in us. It's evidence of that. If I'm filled with peace where I had turmoil, if I have love where I had indifference, if I had joy where there was sadness, patience where there was irritation, kindness where I was rude, goodness where I was mean, and self-control where I was out of control, people around us can see the change in us. That is evidence of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. These changes, they go against the nature that is in us. Our sinful nature that is born in us, it fights. It wars against what God wants. All the good things, it tries to steal them from us. But they're from God. And because His Holy Spirit is actively working in us, God will win out if we allow Him to have control. The power of God flows through us to do His will. And that's when supernatural things happen, like healings, casting out demons, and much, much more. The Holy Spirit communicates differently to each one of us. It's because we're made different. We're not all the same. Some people hear an audible voice. Some people have a thought that comes into their mind. Oh, I should really go pray for that person. Some may show up in this feeling of joy when you're praising God. When He moves in your life, it can be hard to explain. Tony, how do you know God called you to be a pastor? I know that I know. I don't know how to explain it. God spoke to me through His Spirit. He called me into it. It wasn't this audible voice that I heard. But I know that I know in my heart that God has called me to this. And that's where we can't compare ourselves to each other because we're all different. And we also need to watch out when it comes to feelings. Feelings are good. They're involved. God moves in our heart. It fills us with joy. But if we're just chasing feelings, are we really seeking God and His will? Because if we're chasing feelings, we can miss out what God is doing every day in our lives. All those little things can be overlooked, and we can miss what the Holy Spirit is working on continually. God is always working, even when we can't feel Him at work, when He feels distant. But what about that person? They have these great supernatural gifts. I want to experience that. Experiences are great. Especially when we see God move in a mighty way. They strengthen and encourage our faith. But again, we shouldn't be chasing after experiences. We have to chase after God and His will and doing His will. He may move supernaturally through us, or He may not. But we have to faithfully seek His will and not our own. We also have to look at, if I'm chasing experiences, why is that? Is it for my own recognition that I prayed for that guy and he was healed? Or is it for God's glory? God used me as His vessel to move in a mighty way in that person and heal them. We need to stand in faith on God's promises that He gave through His Word. The Holy Spirit may be difficult to explain to somebody, But when we sit down and look at our lives, we can see where the Holy Spirit was moving. We can see the evidence of where God was working. And we can share that evidence. We can tell people our life story. So this morning, if you feel like God is distant and you're not hearing from God, or you want that deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, you want deeper communion with the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, I'm going to invite you to stand right now. I'm going to invite you to stand, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite the worship team up to lead us in a closing song. So if you want a deeper communion relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'd invite you to stand now. Praise God. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you see all who are standing. They want a deeper relationship with you, with your Spirit and with your Son. Father, there's times when you feel distant, but you're working. We desire a closeness with you. Show us what is keeping us from being closer to you. Show us the things that maybe you spoke into us already that we need to work on, that we aren't. Help us to hear your voice clearly and not doubt. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, awaken our souls to your presence so that we can know it's you every time you speak and you move. Come and commune with us. We turn over control of our lives, the things we want, to you. We turn them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
Your Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Thou art guardian, thou art guide, o'er every thought and step resolve, o'er every thought and step resolve. The light of truth to us display, know and choose thy way. Let holy fear in every heart that we from God may ne'er depart, that we from God may ne'er depart. Lead us to holiness, the road which we must take to dwell with to Christ, the living way. Nor let us from his pasture stray, nor let us from his pasture stray. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, of joy forever there, fullness of joy forever there.
All right. Just a couple of brief items. As I mentioned last week, a reminder that this Tuesday is our members' meeting, where we discuss budget, the facility upgrade, and other related things of the church. want to thank everyone for their ongoing generosity towards the facility upgrade project. Looks like we're close to making that decision to start. And also wanted to mention about the Brotherhood Fund. We have not set out baskets, but we have some ongoing financial needs of members of our church. And if you could continue to contribute, thank you for those that did. You can put it in either a separate envelope or a line item on your envelope. And thank you for all that.
Thank you, Sheldon. Will you stand for the parting benediction? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. God bless you. Go in hope. You're dismissed.